Welcome to Gaming Entertainment Night Demo 1 with your hosts, Cybermancer
and Striker.
Yeah, how you doing there over there, Striker?
I'm doing fine.
That's good, right on. We're going to be talking about some gaming, lots of different areas. We got some gaming news, PC gaming, console gaming, legacy gaming, and maybe some entertainment in there as well, movies and miscellaneous stuff.
Yeah, you know we like that kind of stuff.
Anime, all that. No dead air.
Yeah, well, you sound like a recording, dude.
Damn it.
You're just kind of going on. Just go with it, dude. We're good at this point. They don't expect us to be like CNN on the internet, okay? It's rant radio, not like, you know, corporate, you know, sellout radio.
Don't like that commercial stuff. Anyway, so.
And this next ad brought to you by Microsoft. Yeah, right. Okay.
Tonight, our official drink is the iced cappuccino from Tim Hortons. Wired.
Yeah, you see Sire Master over here, like, twitching like a freak because of it. Handles his caffeine a little differently.
Just hits my brain. Ow. Ow. And then I get up and it's all good. But little donuts and a little snacky. I got the white powder, so I look like a crack addict.
It's all good.
So what's coming up on the gaming? What new games are coming out?
Well, end of the year before Halloween, we're getting the new Resident Evil game. Cool. Resident Evil Zero.
That's some scary stuff. It looks so real. It's freaky.
Yeah, well, it uses the new, the same engine as the Resident Evil remake for GameCube earlier this year.
Oh yeah, that was a good one. I like that. It's just so, you turn off all the lights, start that baby up, and scare the crap out of you.
Yeah, although I have some friends that are complaining that it's like, you know, Resident Evil used to be about really campy, horrible acting, and it looked bad and stuff.
What's wrong with improving a game? If you want the old game, play the old stuff.
Well, exactly. I mean, I think the new one looks great.
Yeah, that's what it's about. I mean, you got to use the new technology, not just make it.
And the new one looks like it's going to be just as good, if not better. Has, like, you can play, like, two characters, it's, like, simultaneously in this one.
Oh, right on. So you get, like, have the same co-op happening. That'd be fun. Yeah, so you can share your scariness.
And they're buying into the whole, like, new idea of prequels, which seems to be something that's been kind of
ongoing.
Yeah. Everyone's into the prequels.
So is it a chick and a guy?
Yeah, it's Rebecca Chambers and some guy, I forget his name right now.
Oh, the guy.
Yeah, some Navy SEAL guy with tattoos. He's probably like 12 years old or some goddamn thing. Resident Evil games don't exactly, it's like these people that are like ex-Delta Force at age 25, you know, it's like.
Yeah, that's their Navy SEAL at 10.
Well, you know, we'll see what Becky's up to. People say she'll probably be like freaking amazing because she's only like, you know, 16 or something.
Big knockers. That's what it's all about, Tomb Raider.
Yeah, you know, it sells video games.
Yeah, definitely.
Another interesting game coming out for GameCube also is the Godzilla Destroy All Monsters Melee.
Godzilla!
Yeah, well, it's looking like a giant version of
What kind of viewpoint is that game? Are you Godzilla?
Well, yeah, you basically, it's a fighting game where it's like, you know,
they're like Rampage?
Well, yeah, well, it's kind of like Rampage, except you're fighting against other monsters. It's like a fighting game, but you can have up to four different authentic Japanese monster creatures.
You got Mothra.
Well, Mothra's not in it, because what would you do with Mothra? Flap around, go...
Yeah, scare them.
Well, it's got Godzilla, Mechagodzilla, Destroya. Yeah, and then there's like a bunch of realistic cities, and like the humans will try to fight against you, and have all these little like planes buzzing around your head shooting
helicopters and missiles.
Yeah, and you can destroy the cities. This apparently supposed to be pretty cool. Has different play modes, like destroy the cities for points, or just a melee where you like fight the other monsters to the death.
Nice. Another real game coming out is SimCity 4. I don't know the date on that one, but that's gonna be looking real. I saw the demo E3 one. Do you see that one?
No, I missed
like,
that.
It was like super real. You like watch the preview and you're like, that was a tornado. And then it's like, SimCity 4. And you're like, is that really the game? Ugh. you know, so you could build your own city. Destroy it. That's what I think the point of SimCity became.
Oh, it became, I guess, yeah. I lost game of SimCity. SimCity game I played was SimCity 2000.
Yeah.
I know they had like SimCity 3000.
2000. It's just like that. Bigger, better 2000.
Well, I'm guessing the graphics. The original. The graphics just look amazing.
Yeah. I don't think it was fully 3D in 3000, but.
No, it was. It was like a kind of two. It was like 2000. Yeah, it was kind of upgraded. Style. This one's fully 3D.
Yeah.
Yeah, now they need a new version of SimCopter.
So you can fly your cities again?
That was a cool idea back in the day, although if you look at the game now, it's like...
Dated, that's for sure.
Just slightly, okay?
Just a little.
And I thought it ran slow because we were running it on a Pentium back then.
Oh, yeah.
No, it just runs slow.
It's just the engine. I don't even know what engine that was, but it was
something they made up. I mean, they could have at least put effort into it. I mean, it looked...
Cheese.
Well, the character.
It did load up the maps, though. That was cool.
It was cool. You could see your map in 3D, but
you could blow everything up.
All the characters were really badly rendered.
Yeah, they needed character stuff. Now, if they made it like Grand Theft Auto 3, that'd be cool.
Grand Theft Auto 3 was cool, except it crashes on my computer.
Oh, that's no good. Now, every time I tried to save, I think I needed to patch it. I'd try and save, load up the game, and it would die. So I'd have to start from the beginning every time.
I bet if we talked about this on the, it's like, what, you know, a real show, there'd be all these people at the IRC, just like on the internet, they're all like, well, that's because you didn't buy the full version of the game.
Yeah, demo, or whatever.
Yeah, they're all like...
That's okay.
We aren't using our real names, by the way, so it's not like we have to, like...
I know.
Yeah, I'm just telling you.
It's all good. Edit. Anyways.
The rest of the next month or so is going to be a lot of like revamps of old classics.
Yeah.
PlayStation 2, Sega's releasing a new version of Shinobi.
Ooh, ninja.
Yeah, it looks like some ninja, cool ninja action with it.
Dum, 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 throwing stars in the back.
Looks pretty cool. Some of the things I saw, like the E3 footage where it was, Joe Musashi jumping around, slicing up, you know, exploding ninjas.
Oh, sweet. Exploding ninjas.
Well, that was right always on. Their thing. I think maybe they put blood in this one, but it's blood still pretty cool explosions. Moves.
That's what it's all about.
Although they added a really long cape.
A cape? What? That's not good for stealth. Well, that could get in the way, like Batman. That never got in the way with Batman. I never figured that out. But it was like bulletproof.
Well, Batman was cool.
Yeah, Batman was cool. Oh,
the cape was just his thing. I don't know. He wouldn't.
And then you got Metroid. Ooh, yes. Metroid.
Yeah, there's two Metroid games coming out. There's the long-awaited Metroid Prime for GameCube.
Ooh, that's going to kick some
butt. Where Nintendo's actually taking a kind of different approach than their previous Metroid games because the whole game's going to be in first person.
Yeah, that's a leap for them. It's always side-scroller.
Well, yeah. There's apparently going to be some parts where they're kind of like side-scroller, but the majority of the game is like first person, including all the jumping and everything. I don't know how they're going to do that successfully. It's just kind of one of those things you have to wait and see.
Yeah, but it looks good. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, all the footage and graphics and stuff I've seen so far looks pretty innovative.
Pretty high-end?
Yeah, high-end graphics. Some like different, like interesting features, like being able to scan creatures and stuff. Be able to like different vision modes that like, you can see different,
sort of like
infrared and you know
heat
vision and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple different modes. It seems pretty interesting. It's one of the things I'll have to kind of wait and see. But the game does look like it's gonna be one of the big ones this year.
Yeah, that's for sure. A lot of people looking forward to that one. Everyone's hooked on Metroid back in the day.
But the one that actually kind of looks like it's gonna be a interesting diversion that I didn't really hear about until recently is Metroid Fusion.
Fusion. I haven't heard of that one yet.
Yeah, it's a new Game Boy Advance game that's used...
So is it linked with the game?
No, it's a separate game. But it's a Game Boy Advance game coming out that apparently uses an engine similar to the Super Metroid engine for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
But it's they have like it has more of a ongoing storyline. It has more narrative to it.
Oh,
so it kind of
more in depth.
Yeah, and it's looking pretty interesting.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Maybe we'll try that one out.
Oh, yeah. Another interesting thing I found out the other day is near the end of the month, House of the Dead 3 is coming out. It'll be the first light gun shooter for Xbox.
Oh, light gun. I haven't even seen the light gun for Xbox.
Microsoft hasn't released a first-party light gun yet. Huh? If they are going to. There is one.
Parties?
Yeah, there's only a Mad Cat's accessory, like, blaster out.
Yeah.
Looks pretty cartoony. It's kind of this big green,
green
thing. Like, neon, green. Big neon green.
Death green.
Neon green thing. It has kind of a, like, big-ass banana clip kind of on the front that looks weird.
Sweet.
You can put your memory card, slap it in like a memory, like a ammo clip.
Kabam. Loaded up.
No, I don't know. Well, that's one of the things you can't really tell until
that'd be cool to use for Halo.
You can't really use a light gun for a first-person shooter. You have to be able to
we
move
could
around.
Try.
To move you know, around.
Yeah, you know, move, like, make it VR. Like,
nah, you know. What you need for Halo is you gotta, they gotta bring that up for PC.
Head unit.
Halo's not coming out for PC until,
Halo 2?
No, Halo.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't coming out for PC until, like, next June.
Well.
By then, Halo 2 will be out for Xbox.
It's not worth the wait.
Well, I mean, it's Microsoft's just trying to, like, you know, it was the only thing that was selling their system.
Yeah. They needed that big push game, so they bought Bungie.
I don't know. See, I mean, that's all they seem to be doing is going around and buying companies they want to get games from.
Surprised they haven't bought Blizzard yet.
Eh, well.
I mean, Blizzard was up for sale or something like that.
So. Yeah, they were. I think their parent company was, and there was some concern that they were going to be bought. I'm not sure how that.
I never heard what that turned out.
I think they're still.
Microsoft secretly bought them.
Well, no, I don't think so. All I know is that Microsoft did recently buy Rare, though.
Yes, that's right. They acquired it from Nintendo.
Well, Nintendo released their contract with them, became like, you know, independent kind of.
Yeah, and then they
got a contract and
let
then
them go.
Microsoft bought them up.
They so now, Rare was good.
Well, there now it's just going to be Rare's all they're going to be Xbox exclusives.
Well, they released some good stuff. I remember GoldenEye. That was
well,
good.
Yeah, GoldenEye. I mean, the first stuff was Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, Donkey Kong Country. That was
the original Super Nintendo.
That was top notch stuff back then. Tell you.
Back then, I think it's like one of the best-selling games I think they had back then.
Yeah, it was, yeah. It was one of their system pushers. But it was good.
Just like, but now they're going to do stuff for Microsoft. I don't know. Was going to be like Perfect Dark 2 for Xbox?
That will be weird. But at least you'll have better polygons.
Wow. It would have been just as good on the GameCube. I don't know why Nintendo let
yeah,
it go.
Oh, yeah, they could have done. Just bought the rights for that. Maybe they own the rights for Perfect Dark.
No, Perfect Dark was...
No, that's Rare's.
It's Rare's exclusive. GoldenEye was a licensed property, that's why they...
Alright. Delving into the PC gaming world, I've been hooked on the 1942 game recently.
Battlefield 1942 by... released by EA Games.
That's a good one. Love how you... I've been waiting for a game with total aspects where you have everything. You can be a tank, jump out, leap out, start stabbing a guy, blow him up, do whatever. Go fly a plane, you know, crash it into something, die.
Well, it certainly has, like, the makings of an excellent multiplayer game. I mean, I could see how... I mean, there's a lot of available types of teamwork, and the game has, like, a fairly rugged system to be used between different, you know, vehicles.
I can see the engine taking off.
Well, the engine was pretty good. All I know, and it, like, I mean, there's some stuff I could see them doing some excellent mods for it.
But, yeah, totally.
But,
you could add some more vehicles. And
there are some limitations to the system. I mean, dead air.
Bam! Lost the train of thought there. That's okay, though.
Oh, the infantry combat isn't the greatest. It seems more like, you know, it's all about the vehicles. You can't really, like, the man.
So you take over tanks.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like if you're not in a vehicle, you tend to be a little helpless.
Yeah, so you need more firepower.
Well, yeah, a group of guys can't really take out, unless you got, like, you know, tactics. I mean, there's certain things you know how to do.
You need a lot of co-op stuff. Does it have the voiceover IP in there?
No, not standard. You need a separate, like,
third party. That's too bad.
Plus, the thing is, like, the online component of the game, it's, like, free, but it tends to be populated by a contingent of just complete
people
morons.
Who just bots, nearly.
Well, I don't even know. Like, the people are actually... Well, bots actually, at least, aren't really that bad. I mean, they'll do something normal. They'll just kind of help you, right? people that play online, I mean, I've seen them do retarded things like...
They just drive a tank into the water or something?
Well, yeah, or like, I mean, they come up with the stupidest... I mean, the stuff that works, but it's kind of, like, funny but retarded at the same time. I mean, there's a lot of team killers on Battlefield 1942.
Yeah.
Guys that'll get mad at you for, like, say if you, like, if you manage to, like, grab an airplane and take off before they wanted the airplane, they'll, like, start strafing your plane.
They'll take you out.
They'll start firing your plane just because they, you know, oh, I wanted that plane. And, like, take off half your life, which isn't, like, I mean, you're on their team, though.
Jeez.
Or guys that'll, like...
I mean,
there's this one guy I heard about that planted mines all over a battleship.
Oh, dear.
And then, he goes to engineer, put mines all over the battleship. One of his teammates hit it. All the mines exploded. Battleship sank.
Wicked. That's pretty smart.
But it was on his team. That's the thing.
What makes you do that? I don't know.
These guys that try to take off in planes and then, like, you know, just crash them into the water immediately or just tilt them up on their nose in the carrier so no one else can get off.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, I've seen people do all sorts of dumb things in that.
Yeah, I've yet to really experience the online community on there. Kind of stuck in the dark ages, but...
You mean dial-up?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's another word for it.
You get dial-up.
Dial-up.
Yes. That's why we're doing this here where I got cable.
That's all good. That's okay. Anyways, I like playing in at LAN though. That's probably the favoriteest environment to really game is do PC gaming in a LAN. It may take a little bit of work hauling your machine over, unless you got one of those briefcase laptop attaché case mod ones where you're super LAN man. I saw one of those at one of the parties I went to. One guy was just carrying the attaché case and just flat screen everything folded out, boom.
It's a lot handier than carrying around a machine. Like, remember that one guy at your LAN party that had like the 22-inch monitor and the gigantic server case?
Yeah, it was a little extreme. He had the
was it dual
Athlon? He must have had like 515 hard drives or something in there. It's
dual,
like,
Athlon.
Just yeah, honking power sucker, dim the lights sort of deal.
Nice monitor, but it's not really the thing you want to carry around to LANs.
Yeah. Wait for those flat screens to go down and pick yourself up one of those.
Yeah, well, the flat screens are good. I mean, for a LAN, I'd love to carry one around, but they're not the best.
No, like, quality for gaming. You know, you don't get the refresh rates you need, so.
It's also just, they just don't look right. I mean, like, give me a like CRT any day.
Yeah, for sure. Just the crispness. They're improving. I just was reading.
A lot cheaper too. That's the thing.
Reading today, they were putting computer screens on glass.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of those new things coming out. They're trying to develop with, I think it's like Sony and some other ones, developing glass displays. So.
Just a glass plate.
Just a glass, any type of glass that they can just print boards onto, and boom, it's like a display happens.
That's cool. Kind of like in Minority Report.
Yeah, nearly like that. Nearly there. Just need some more, 20 more years and we're all there.
Probably cost a fortune too. Just like your plasma displays nowadays.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, it's $15,000.
Oh, man. Good millionaires have those. That's it. I'd like to have one. Nice.
Yeah. Unfortunately, some of these like newer games like Battlefield require pretty steep system requirements before you can really.
Well, I'm hauling it with a Pentium 3 500. It's still kicking it. It still runs it.
If you have a good graphics card though.
Yeah, if you upgrade your graphics card, little trick. You just upgrade your graphics card if your motherboard supports it. You can weasel in these new games for a little longer until they come up with DirectX 9 or something.
Although, if you really want a superior, like, increase in speed, you have to go take the plunge and upgrade your
processor board and
motherboard,
RAM, and
some of the newer technologies though really help, like the newer newer Pentium 4s. And Athlon XPs.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Currently, the Pentium 4s, I think, are outperforming the XPs right now.
Yeah, especially if your heatsink quits on and then your machine just suddenly bursts into flames. Don't want that happening.
Yeah, the Pentium 4s tend to run a lot cooler.
Yeah.
But they also, they tend to be able to perform, I mean, the current, like, you can get a pretty good Pentium 4, 2.4 gigahertz with a 533 front side bus.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah, but you can get them pretty cheap now. I mean, it's like, the Athlons tend to be, people complain and say that they're a lot
cheaper,
but, you know, you kind of pay, get what you pay for, too.
Get what you pay for, you bang for your buck, right? So, go all out, get those P4s.
I mean, this isn't like the old days anymore. I mean, the Athlon, the old Athlon processors did outperform the Pentium 3s, and
yeah.
The old Athlon K5s and K6s outperformed their Intel brethren, like
46, counterparts, yeah,
486s and Pentium 2s, but the Pentium 4 can pretty much blow anything Intel or AMD has out of the water right now.
Yeah, they're one up. I saw some tests. High-end test results of 10 gigahertz. They achieved it. They just haven't they mass marketed it because they're still making money off the working up to 3 gigahertz stability and that architecture. So
yeah, well, the next step up is the Itanium and Hammer chips, respectively. The Intel Itaniums and the AMD,
yeah, that'll be
AMD
the,
Hammer chips.
That'll be the new...
With a 64-bit architecture.
Yeah, go for the... revamp of the whole system. They're trying to ditch the old 32-bit.
Yeah, unfortunately, they'll probably start running into the same problems they had back in the day with the Pentium Pro.
Yeah.
Which was the first one with a true 32-bit architecture.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, it wouldn't run old legacy 16-bit programs very... It would run them slower than a Pentium, even though the whole chip was supposed to be faster.
That was no good. I heard of some... interesting results on the Hammer when they were doing some 32-bit. It was just getting blown away on the 32-bit on the Intel side. Like the Itanium was just 32-bit, no problem. 64-bit, whatnot. But we digress.
Yeah, we're getting off the computer thing.
That's okay. That's okay.
For gamers, that's probably not going to be much of an option. Even a non-option for us. I mean, we're not rich. Not rich here.
Raking in the dough.
Yeah.
But some console gaming I tried today. Some Robotech. Oh, cell shading. It is our friend.
Yeah, the new Robotech Battlecry looks pretty impressive.
Oh, I like it. I like it. I can see myself addicted to that one really fast. It's blast 'em up, shoot 'em up. Been long awaited for a Robotech game. I mean, you got the Robotech anime. Huge genre fan base around that, and everyone wants.
Well, yeah, currently the Robotech kind of fan base is getting pretty large lately. It's been kind of like having a resurgence. I mean, it's like it hasn't really been around since the like late 1980s, but now they're starting to like have a resurgence of popularity, and there's a lot of new stuff coming out. And it looks like this is one of the first like real Robotech games that's come out. I mean, there's been a few attempts before to make
a few mech games, but they weren't really.
There's been like Macross games and a few other like games.
They didn't survive.
Yeah, or they didn't do very well, or they weren't very. They didn't have as the controls were kind of awkward, and a lot of them never even made it out of Japan.
Yeah.
But this is an American produced game, and it looks like it's, you know, going to do fairly well.
Definitely worth trying out. That's for sure. I like it. It's some good gaming.
Yeah, it has kind of a.
I like the verses. That was fun. Some good pickup.
It might be. I mean, there's some things. It's a pretty good game for like people who are, you know, kind of just into like those kind of games. That might be a idle. You know, maybe want to rent it and try it out.
Yeah, rent it.
But
give it a
if you're a fan of Robotech, it's definitely something you want to
pick it up.
Pick up if
pick
you can.
It up,
get
yeah.
If you can. There's also a limited edition box set. Comes with a game
pretty
set.
Silver box.
Yeah, pretty silver box. Comes with a game soundtrack. A pretty nice extra large T-shirt and some dog tags and some concept
art. Label yourself with an ID number.
Yeah, the game of course. It's a fairly good box. It can be a little pricey, but it's really worth it if you're a fan
collecting.
Of the show.
Definitely worth collecting if you're into the Robotech scene, and definitely worth it. But
the cell shading is fairly impressive, although I've seen some better examples of it in other games.
That rollerblading game?
What, Jet Set Future?
That's right, yeah.
Jet Set Radio Future?
Yeah.
For Xbox? Yeah, that was a better... They had, like, some pretty good cell shading. Also, there's the Sly Cooper for the PlayStation 2 adaptation.
Right, that was really impressive. It seems to be hot right now to do the cell shading. But it turns out a really nice effect to get that cartoony 3D feel for everything. And
yeah, but it appears more cartoony.
Cartoony, so it's sort of more fantasy-like.
Yeah, if you want to go for the cartoon look. I mean, but for the Robotech game, it kind of applies because it makes it look more like the show.
Yeah, exactly. So you get the theme music in the background, so you get...
Yeah, it's very impressive. I mean, it's pretty true to the show, too. I mean, the storyline follows pretty closely with the first part of the television show up until the end of the first Macross era campaign in the thing. And it also, all the music in the game is reorchestrated and inspired by the original music in the show.
So you get an authentic deal happening.
Plus, all the voice actors are from the original TV show as well. So it's all
original material. There you go.
It's a pretty good deal.
Definitely worth the game, though. With the talking about old systems, some legacy gaming stuff. I'm hooked on pinball. Any of those old games touch your heart?
Well, you know, there's always like some of those classic arcade games too that are just...
Oh yes, Bubble Bobble.
Gotta love Bubble Bobble.
I was addicted to that one. Anytime I'd go on a ferry, they'd have the Bubble Bobble machine. Go in there, pump in the quarters, try and get to that last impossible guy.
Some of those legacy arcade machines are still... I mean, you see them all over the place, but they're kind of...
They're dissipating, you know?
Yeah.
They get broken down and not even fixed up, you know?
Well, I mean, a lot of arcade machines, like, most people don't really... Like, I mean, it's not really worth it anymore. People... arcade gaming is kind of becoming a specialized... You know, you go to an arcade specifically sometimes. I mean, like, the Palladium.
For that game... For a gaming...
Yeah,
arcade.
I mean, it's like, you don't really see a lot of, like, you know, go down to the, you know, shopping center.
PC gaming's kind of taken over that.
Well, PC gaming and home console gaming has become, I mean, people don't want to pop quarters into a machine all day.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless, I mean, but, you know, when you do see it nowadays, I mean, it seems like arcades are kind of...
Pretty high-end.
I mean, you get
the driving games, these super racing games that you sit in and it moves you around. VR's getting up there.
Well, yeah, but most VR is kind of still, like... Rudimentary.
Deep, yeah, basic polygons.
But you go to a place like Palladium and they got all sorts of stuff. I mean,
yeah, Palladium's a gaming center near our place here. Located up here in Canada. We have a big mall, Metropolis, as they call it, and big gaming. So you can buy like a card, they give you a card, give you time, and just swipe it. No more quarters.
That's pretty good. You can pay like, what, $22 Canadian, which is a lot, like 3 cents American, I don't know.
Get that in there.
And you can play for like 3 hours straight, just solid arcade gaming.
You can pick a game and you can beat it. It doesn't matter, just swipe that card.
It's also impressive sometimes to watch other people play. I mean, I've been in there and I watched some guy doing a freestyle Dance Dance Revolution.
Dance Dance. Got those Dance Dance addicts. And they just go at it, get to like level 4,999.
I saw some guy do it freestyle, just like jumping over the edge and like all sorts of like
weird
backflips and stuff. I mean, the guy was amazing.
That's crazy. Natural acrobatics from gaming.
It's
performance
art. I don't know. It was amazing.
Did he have a crowd? Must have had a crowd.
Oh yeah.
Something like that.
It's a huge crowd. I mean, it's, I don't know how you feel. It's like you're playing a video game and you have like 100 people behind you looking at you.
Wow. That's better than home at, you know, just yourself watching the game. But definitely some fun. Dance Dance and all those other spin-offs. Catching up. And I'm looking forward to the new Matrixes coming out.
Yeah, it looks like the Matrix Reloaded's coming out in next May.
May.
I forget the exact date. It's like May 15th or something is the...
Around graduation time for some of those university students out there. Something to look forward to. A goal to get to that Matrix Reloaded.
Matrix Reloaded's coming out.
You get a little taste of that stuff if you have a DVD player and purchase the Animatrix, which is a combination of all of these anime artists, cartoonists got together. Had Matrix ideas.
I think it's like seven
different
visionary directors, kind of like famous anime directors. And
so you got the guy who did like Ghost in the Shell, got his works, and some of the other guys that
are, yeah, there's some good stuff in there, and it's all like going to be a series of like kind of short story, kind of short,
but all films. Related to the Matrix.
So all, yeah, all directly related to the Matrix.
And I saw some like katana Japanese stuff in there that looked pretty cool.
Yeah, they're all like related. I mean, they're all going to be like, there's some that are actually like direct prequels, and they actually all fall into the Matrix storyline.
So it's all some that show. So you'll want to watch that before you even get to the reboot.
So that'll be out before May. But the most important, the impressive part of that is one of the longer sequences is going to be done by Square USA, the same people that made
3D.
Yeah, but it's the same 3D that was in Final Fantasy: The Spirits Within.
Yeah, that was a good movie. I really recommend that one for 3D fans out there. Yeah,
and they've gone back and done a Matrix short that looks pretty impressive.
So you get 3D Matrix happening. Easy to do bullet time, I'm sure.
Yeah, which is another thing. It's like apparently in the new Matrix films, they're going to be shying away from... They're not going to be using the bullet time sequence again.
They'll be using some of those new effects they're inventing. So that... I heard they're working on this one that won't be able to be recreated because they're dumping all their money into it.
Yeah, it's going to be so impressive that no one's ever going to be able to try anything like it again. Or at least not for a long time.
Well, we're hoping a big one for that... For that effect or
their main
sequence.
Problem is they were pretty upset when, like, after they became out with The Matrix, everyone copied Bullet Time.
Yeah. Guy who did it must have sold that idea to everyone. And then there's all the spoofs, so a little hard to get away from that.
And then later next year, too, after Matrix Reloaded comes out, Matrix Revolutions will be out later that year, around Christmas time.
Yeah. So we'll have that. Double whammy next year.
Both films were done back to back, so they're basically one long film.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's a couple tragedies holding back production. A couple of actors passed away, I believe.
Yeah, the actress who played the Oracle in the original Matrix film.
Right. The older lady.
Yeah, she passed away after finishing her work on The Matrix Reloaded. And she had a number of scenes still to be filmed for The Matrix Revolutions, and
so they rewrite that.
Yeah, they had to re-script it in order to like come.
They could just turn it into a computer and synthesize a voice,
or recast it somehow. I don't really know how they're going to do it, but they came up with a way to get around it,
maybe
without having to recast the entire part.
Yeah, or get rid of it.
And
Akasha, was
that Aaliyah?
Aaliyah.
Yeah, what's her name?
Yeah, Aaliyah.
Yeah,
her name was.
She was going to be
in that vampire movie.
Yeah, she's going to be one of the. She was going to be one of the main characters in the new films, but of course everyone knows she.
She passed
died
away
in
a
plane crash, was it?
Yeah, that was a plane crash. Yeah.
Yeah, a while back.
A year or so ago.
So their production schedule. They probably the movies probably would have been out a darn sight sooner, but there's been a lot of problems with them.
Probably would have been a year earlier. This year would have come out this year,
but. They've had a number of production holdups.
Happens in any Hollywood production, but natural disaster and whatnot.
You okay?
Just choking on a little caffeine spurt there.
Yeah.
But this wraps up our little spiel on gaming night.
We expect to have like a little more interactive next, if we actually get to the show. And
we'll be doing some live IRC input, see what people think of different ideas, you know.
Keeping a little more up to date, keeping, you know, getting a little more in depth on some issues.
Yeah, we'll, a little more. Keep you updated news wise and go back in time to find out what was when we were back in the day gaming. But thanks for tuning in. We hope to see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.